The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 24th of April, 2017. Go out to Fiorella Barbell Company, well, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, and you can look at our two brand new products out there. One is called the Winner Circle. Those are 12 audios where I speak, we teach, we train. It's all there, everything from high shrugs to dips, the pullovers, the sandbag training, the thick bar training. It's all encompassed on those 12 audios with more coming down the road, especially the last one. Started getting into some power rack work and some dead stop training, real interesting stuff. Check out that product. And our next one is called Etched in Stone. This targets males from anywhere from their late 20s to their 60s that have the either the belly of a pregnant woman or the big spare tire. And it really answers some serious questions like, why aren't you feeling well? Why can't you move even out of your own way? Lots of high-end estrogen levels. And I got into this with Dr. William Wong, who's one of the best naturopaths, I believe, in the world. Dory Peterson, who's an RN and a nutritionist. Dr. Jeffrey Smith, who you're all familiar with, he's a medical doctor in Arizona. We got David's good friend. He introduced me to Dale Dugas. He's on board. Let me think. Steven Santangelo, and on and on and on. And I've used this on Dennis, who, when he started here over 6 weeks ago, he weighed 271, and he had a nine-month belly. Literally, it was from his breastbone right down, you know, to his belly button. So we took him in a little over 6 weeks from 271 to 237. And, of course, we did use weights and body weight to warm him up. But the majority of it had to be this type of sandbag training, which I didn't want to bring in till later on. But he was in that much trouble that we had to do it, and it works. And I've done it here for 15 years. I mean, everything I do, anything that I promote and sell, it's all been done here. And it's been done on me, and I'm still doing it because thanks to my good friend Martin Janzix, besides telling me to flip a 500-pound tire for an hour straight will make you a stone monster, he says to me 2 weeks ago when we had him on that if I can press, well, there are no ifs, when you can take and clean a 200-pound sandbag and press it, he says, you'll lift anything in the world. That's the wrong guy to say it to because I took him serious regardless, and I know he was serious. I've already, in two workouts, I've got a buck 04 over my head right now and doing some massive sandbag work, which I can't wait to film some of this stuff. It's insane. And I'm doing like 5 to 7 minutes on 9 days, and we're going to get into this a little more. Central nervous training is unbelievable with this because 7 minutes might not sound like much, but when you warm up, I have a one-inch York bar, an old bar. I use that for three specific warm-ups, and I do 5 rounds with that, whatever I designate with reps. I might even throw in a little bit rubber band-wise. And then we go right from a 50, 54, 68, 78, and usually around a 92. Now, I do those, and I know people say, well, that's not very heavy. That's not the point of this. When you find out how I'm doing this method, it's insane. I use these things to blow them off the ground so fast. I'm getting so good with them. They're literally in the air, and I can almost catch them under me, right by my clavicle, and press it all in one shot. Believe me, when you're going to lift huge stones and sandbags, the acceleration factor is the most important thing, besides, obviously, the shoulder girdle, the, you know, your hip girdles. We know all that, okay? Spinal erectors. But here's the deal. If you've got to just push through everything, you know, just struggle with it, yeah, you might be strong enough to get one up, but I'm talking I want to nail like 15 within 2 days, all right, between Iceland, Scotland, and Wales. So that means no breakdown, ladies and gents. So as I start filming this, you're going to see now what I did the other day, too. This is how quick I'm getting back to like I used to be. I know 184-pound round sphere most people think is nothing, but I'm here to tell you. I took that thing the other day. I hadn't touched it in probably 2 years. I ripped that thing off the ground. That's after doing all this stuff and put the 184 right on my shoulder, put it down, and shut the garage door. That's what I'm talking about. So we'll get into that more. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. David Whitley, our good friend, is on here today with me. David hasn't been on in a while like a lot of people. But business has to be done now, and survival is the key right now, and that's what we're in, survival mode. Totally doing some great things, and we'll have more about that coming up too. So go out there and just look at – I would think David's been on with me for probably close to a year and a half now. I'd have to go out and see when the first show was, but he was in like the 400s, I think. And we're long – yeah, I mean, we are probably at 700, and I am going to get a tally – but we're having some blueberry issues, too, now that they got to look into. So there's a lot of stuff cascading all over here. But go out and look at all the shows I've done with him, man. It's just absolutely amazing. As we always talk, you know, everybody's pushing this, that, and the other thing, especially books and all that. You want to get a book, just go out and look what he and I have done. And everybody else here, there's just so much material. So I hope you go out and enjoy it. It is great stuff to listen to, and we'll go from there. I'm going to give you a little information on David. Number one, let me see here. He is a motivational speaker, author of Superhuman You, Strong Man, and the Master of the Bent Press. And if you've been looking at anything he's been doing with Ice Cold, we can even get in that, but what I really like he's doing is breaking these damn coconuts. I love watching that. Very interesting stuff, and it's all on par with what we do here. We might do different things, but when it comes down to it, it's all strength. So, without further ado, I am going to bring David in here. Welcome, sir. I think you've been on. Have you been? This is not the first time this year, right?
Second? No.
I thought so.
Like the third time this year, but it's been a few weeks. It's once a month, and I think it's been about 6 weeks or 7 weeks for us.
Well, it's been me because the you know, a lot of people, you know, and I've tried to explain to them without going into big detail. It's just there's so much going on here, and we've got to make money, and I can't, you know, I'm trying to do as many shows as I can, but we're in the middle right now of setting up all the checkout stuff. We're using a specific software through WordPress called WooCommerce. It's pretty amazing the way it hooks to MailChimp, which we're using. So there's a lot of software and builds here I and Kelly are doing. So that's where all my time's been really tied up in and out. But before, you know, I'm going to bring David in and let him give his websites and everything. We're going to talk about something that I think is so pertinent. Well, I think everything we talk about is anyways. We're going to talk about being mentally stale. And let me tell you, mentally stale just doesn't show up in the gym room. So, David, give out your website, anything I missed, please.
Website is irontamer.com. Social media, we got the Facebook professional page, Iron Tamer Dave Whitley, and then YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram are all Iron Tamer. Come check me out.
Yeah, and the Wilm Hof stuff, if you haven't seen it out on Facebook, you ought to check it out. It's interesting stuff to begin with, but now David is part of that whole team, and that's life, man. I mean, life is growth, and obviously you're growing, and that's what we all want to do, and that's some pretty intense stuff. And, you know, that might even go into today's subject a little bit. We'll see how we go. But I'm going to let you start. You haven't been here in a long time, and I've been talking like crazy today, and I can't wait to get this going. How do you see mentally stale? I'll tell you what. Define it to everybody how you see it, and then we'll keep rocking, brother.
Well, mentally stale, I think, is something that it's a very timely thing for us to be talking about right now, because we're at, what, the 24th of April?
Oh, yeah.
So we're coming up on 4 months into the year, and I think that mentally stale happens to a great deal of people when springtime starts to hit.
Yep.
And in terms of, you know, physical stuff and goal setting and all that, because everybody is all fired up for January 3rd or 4th to hit the ground running, and they're out there just kicking ass and doing all the stuff that they want to do.
Yep.
And usually by mid to late January, some of the folks have started falling off the wagon, and the really dedicated people stick to it for a few more months, and then a lot of those tend to drop off. And by the time we get to mid-April, around tax time, or around Easter, really, is when I see it starts to happen, is people start to lose momentum if they didn't get everything in order at the launch of whatever their lifestyle goal was, or their strength goal, or their business goal, or whatever it is. And I think that that coincides with the time that the mental staleness starts to set in.
Yep.
Because I think that the staleness is when things become tedious from familiarity.
Yep.
Or to put it another way, when the new wears off of it. It's not exciting to get up and go to the gym in mid-April anymore like it was in mid-January when you were on fire and you were losing 3 or 4 pounds a week and all your lifts were going up because you hadn't done anything for 6 months or a year or 5 years before that. And so, so you're kind of through that initial excitement of everything, and you're settling in for the long haul. And that's when the familiarity starts to set in, and some degree of boredom can set in of like, man, I got to go lift this thing again today.
Yeah.
And, or I got to eat this again today. You know, it seems like I just ate this yesterday. And it's very easy to let that kind of immediate non-gratification influence the long range and not allow us to see further down the road, but also not allow us to see where we've come so far. Like, let's say, you know, somebody started back at the beginning of the year and they've dropped 25 pounds since then, or they've added, you know, 20 pounds to their deadlift or whatever. And so it's very easy for that mentality of, well, I've done pretty good, so I'm going to ease off a little bit.
Yep.
And it's easy for that to seep in with that staleness. And I think that the two things are closely related to each other. You know, the news worn off. And I'll speak from experience for something that's happened with me over the past few months. You were talking about coconut breaking earlier.
Yeah.
Back in September of last year, of 16, my wife and I went on a vacation to Moorea, which is a small island near Tahiti.
Yep.
And we spent a week there, and, you know, coconuts are one of the coconuts and pineapples. That's like the agriculture that exists on that island. And so one of the things that we did there at the resort is the guy who was, you know, kind of the person who came around and made sure that you had everything you needed. He wasn't like just the guy that was, you know, bringing towels and tending bar and all that. He sort of oversaw all of that and oversaw activities and stuff, you know. And I talked to him several times. He had this thing one night where they did this traditional Polynesian in the ground barbecue with, you know, they had a pig in there and all this stuff. And it was fantastic. And so he was showing, and he actually brought me up as the guy, and he gave me a stick and a coconut and showed me how to hit this coconut with a stick to break it. And he said, you got to hit it hard.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay. And I hit it and it shattered all over the place. And I thought, well, that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then he said, and when you get really good at it, you can do this. And he takes another coconut over and sets it on a rock and hits it with his hand and breaks it. And I'm like, this guy's not a strongman guy. This is just something he grew up with.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he's not a martial artist or anything like that. I'm so, okay, so if he grew up in a culture where you can do that, and he just showed me where to hit the coconut and kind of how to approach it. I talked to him a little bit more after that and filed away everything he said in my mind and didn't do anything until probably the beginning of November, I think is when it was, because I had some traveling going on and all that. And I decided it was in my mind and it wouldn't stop that I need to break a coconut with my hand like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was seeing in my mind was holding it in one hand and hitting it with the other, which was a step past what he had done. But I found a bunch of guys on YouTube that were doing various coconut breaking feats. And I thought, well, I've got enough background in internal martial arts and bone conditioning, and my hands are good from bending steel, but, you know, it's just going to take some dedicated practice. And I'm actually talked to Dale Dugas about it a little bit because I get my all my Chinese herbal medicines from him, my Dip Da Jiao and my bone liniments and all that kind of stuff. And talked to a couple of other people. Paul Enfield was a guy that I saw breaking coconuts on YouTube.
Okay.
So I sent him Facebook message and got some general directions from them. Started in November and set the goal for 2017, I'm going to break a coconut. You know, so I've got all year to get it done. On like January 9th or 10th, I did it.
Yeah. Yep.
So I felt really good about that. You know, I broke it on a brick, and then the next day I tried it again to make sure it wasn't a flute, and I was able to get it again. So then I thought, okay, let's work towards doing it handheld.
Yep.
And within a few weeks, I got it handheld. And then I thought, well, what's more difficult than that? And I thought, well, if I suspend it, so I'm hanging it up in a laundry bag, and I'm hitting it.
Yep.
And it in my mind, you know, I would hit it and it would explode all over the place, hanging there. But in reality, what happens is it looks like a game of tetherball. I hit the coconut and it swings
around. Swing back and hit you.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so it wasn't a very visually impressive feat. I only ever broke two of them that were suspended like that. So I decided to focus my efforts into the handheld and the one on the brick.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'm doing that and I'm working on that. I'm hitting a sandbag. I'm daily, sometimes twice a day, working on this. And then I had a show come up a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, okay, I'm going to debut the coconut break in this show. And I did it. It was for high school.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of kids sitting in the front row, and I hit the coconut, and it exploded. And do you remember Gallagher?
Sure.
The comedian Gallagher.
Yeah.
It looked like it exploded like a Gallagher thing. It went over great, and everything was awesome. And then the next day, I got on a plane and traveled to San Diego. I was out there for a few days and did a show out there. Came back. And then the next weekend was Easter, and so I'm traveling with my wife to go visit her family and back and forth. And then the next thing I know, I look around, and it's been like almost 2 weeks since I've done any coconut break training. And I'm like, huh, I got out of the habit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I reached the goal, and then it kind of got stale to me.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
not all fired up chasing this goal anymore. And I hit all of these different ways that I could think of to make it incrementally more difficult, and I got them all faster than I thought I would. And so now I'm like, well, I just got to kind of keep it up. And actually was at Adam Glass's wedding about a month ago, and he's like, let me see your hands. And so I show him my hands, and the hand that I hit the coconut with is bigger and thicker. It's got more muscle and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And we were getting a kick out of that. But I realized that I haven't done anything related to coconut breaking in about 2 weeks. And if I go grab a coconut right now and hit it, I've kind of lost my mental edge on it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would break straight out of the gate.
Yeah.
So
yep.
When you said something in our initial contact about being mentally stale, I'm like, there's a couple different ways to look at that. There's the familiarity of it. And so it's like, oh, man, I got to go out here and hit this sandbag 300 times again right before I go to bed.
Yep.
And then there's the ability to kind of get distracted like I did by traveling and you know, life and various other
family,
things like that.
Sure,
But I realized yesterday is I need to set this up and to plug this back into my daily routine so that I don't lose what I've already got and I can continue to do this feat in the show. So all that to say, I think it comes back to a fundamental truth that you and I both have talked about before and that we agree on. Is that habits are what keep us going when the new wears off.
Oh, yeah.
And in the particular case of breaking the coconut, even though I did it for several months, I don't think I did it long enough for it to become truly habitual for me to do that. Because a true habit is like brushing your teeth. You know, I don't have to ask you if you brushed your teeth this morning. If you've been brushing your teeth for the past 30 or 40 years, you've been doing it. It's just part of what you do.
Yep. Yep.
You know, you don't even think about it. And I think that the people who are extremely successful, even if they do become mentally stale, it doesn't matter because they've infected themselves in such a way with this goal that the habit continues to carry them on even when the excitement isn't there anymore. You know, I don't have another show coming up for several weeks.
Yeah.
And so I'm not in that frame of mind right now. I'm working on some more general strengthening things. And then for my business, I'm working on some more like, you know, contacting people and networking and that aspect of it.
Sure.
Whereas I had several shows back to back that necessitated me being on my game physically for the performance.
Yep.
And so everything kind of goes in waves like that. And I think as long as you recognize that everything is going to be subject to a law of rhythm, you know, it's not going to be hot all the time. It's not going to be cold all the time. You're not going to be at your peak all the time in any endeavor. And it's much the same as what you've got going on with everything. You know, there was a time when you were knocking out 5 and 6 shows a day.
Yep.
For days on end.
Yep.
And now if you're doing 5 or 6 a week,
yep,
that's quite a few.
Yep.
But you've got your attention's turned on this other thing.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Well, no, and you know something, when you talked about not, you know, doing anything with coconuts for weeks, I look at it this way, though, too. Whether we feel it's ingrained in you or not right now, you've been doing this stuff a long time in all different variations of strength, mm-hmm, and everything. My feeling, this is just me listening to you, I feel that maybe, indirectly, maybe your body and mind, you know, it's funny how things work, because I don't care what anybody says, we don't know how things truly work. We have instincts, we have beliefs, we have rehearsals, we have all, mm-hmm, kinds of great things. But let's face it, maybe your body just need a little break from it. Maybe you mentally just was like, you know what? Because I know what's going to happen. I'll be the genie in the bottle to you right now. I know what's going to happen to you. I guarantee it. You're going to go back after this again. You might have to make, obviously, some, you know, maybe the hands got to get a little tougher, whatever. You're going to have to make maybe some fundamental changes a little bit to get back, but I guarantee you're going to come back and just bust holes through it, because what's going to happen, see, this is what people don't understand either when they get stale. You know, what is usually the thing to do? Kick it out in the road and don't do it anymore. That's the majority of people, I hate to say it, where, yep, I think you and I share the same plane on many things as this. I want to get back to it. You know, I'll tell you, David, like I said in the beginning, I'm just the kind of guy, all you got to do is say something, take a 500-pound tire and flip it for an hour. I'm going to do it until I finally get it. Or take that sandbag, like Martin said, put 200 over your head. Mentally, in my head right now, that's telling me I win. I win, I win, I win. Now, that doesn't mean anything, but it's what you're thinking. We say this all the time. It's what you think about most that's coming into your life. And I can tell you,
absolutely,
that. I can tell you that for sure. I wish I could tell everybody some of the stuff that's going on here good, and I can't look at it as bad, but there's some things that are stretching me to the point now where, I'll put it to you this way, if I don't implode, I never will after all of what's going on here, and these are things that happen. The thing that right now I'm facing more than ever, which I cannot stand at all, is when you have to have other people do things in your genre, because these are places that have a direct effect on the show, this and that, when they've made changes on their end and it is affecting your ability to do your job, your business, those are the things that make me don't want to go mentally stale. They want me to go mentally eruption, literally.
Exactly.
And I don't like getting like that, because it affects you in a negative manner. But when your ass is on the line, especially right now, we are on the line with everything. When other people are holding you up or causing you reasons where you've got to put the brakes on everything because you can't do it without them, that to me is very frustrating. Now, we talk mentally stale. If anything, That is peaking my mentality right now, and in a good and a bad way too. But let's face it, when you got your ass on the line with anything, whether it's a coconut, whether it's the biggest stone in Scotland, whether it's just going to the store and getting groceries for the weekend, I know that doesn't sound like much, maybe to David and I, but to a lot of people, that's a big deal, all right?
It's a huge deal, yeah.
So what I'm saying here is this. I had to use the word mentally stale for that reason, because I really want to make a point here. Whether it's we haven't done anything with breaking coconuts in two weeks, whether we haven't taken a 180-pound Atlas stone and shouldered it in 2 years, whether we're now pounding our ass right through the ground with sandbags, because not only is it fun, but it's also a product I have. But I've been set on fire mentally, see, which is the other direction, by a fellow stone lifter who I highly respect and I feel is one of the top guys in the world, and he's telling me, and he could be joshing me, I don't know, I don't think he is because he's not that type of guy, I don't think, but put a 200-pound sandbag over your head, you can lift anything. If you saw him yesterday on Etched in Stone, we're talking about Martin Janzik's, go look. When you walk, I've said this before on shows, and I'm so glad he put the film out there. He's got like a little foyer when you walk into his house, and there's a 120-kilo sandbag there. And really, when you walk into his house, you should lift it out of respect, whether you can or you can't. I'm watching that guy in a space that I don't know. I don't know how. I think I'd have a real bitch of a time even in that space because I'm a little bigger than him. For him to rip that thing up the way he did, I was like, son of a gun, man. So, you know, there's certain things that we feel mentally stale with, but then when you watch stuff like that or a coconut breaking or, you know, David's out in the middle of nowhere with no shoes on and he's got snow up to his knees, you better not be mentally stale to do that or you're going to be mentally dead. Go ahead, man. Yep. Comment on anything.
I think that you raise a good point. It's things that we become stale on are things that we're very familiar with, and we kind of hit a certain level.
Yep.
So I think that, and I just thought of this while you were talking, I think that staleness can kind of mentally and emotionally correspond with a plateau of some sort.
Yep.
And then you get into the whole chicken and egg of, did I hit a plateau and I got stale mentally, or did I get mentally stale and then I hit a plateau? And it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
What does matter is that the ways to deal with that.
Yep.
And I think that they're just, again, very little that Eric and I do is ever scripted or planned in advance.
Never.
We're just kind of winging it right here. So, so what I'm thinking is there are kind of two ways that you can approach that. If it's familiar and you've gotten stale with it, you can do two things. You can do what I've done with the coconut thing and just kind of set it aside for a little bit. And I do think that there is a lot of logic to what you said earlier about maybe inherently, subconsciously, I know that I need a bit of a break from it because I had been pushing it hard. And you can't you can't continuously push something in a straight line forever.
No.
Everything has its rhythm to it like that. It's like the old you know, the story of Milo and the bull, where he picks the calf up and walks with it every day. The thing that gets left out of that is that every spring he started with a new calf.
Exactly.
He didn't try to, you know, continue to carry that same bull. So there's a periodization thing that happens there very naturally. So I hadn't even thought about it, but it does seem that there's probably some truth to that. So step away from it for a while, and if you've gained a certain level of proficiency with something, then it's very easy to come back in and hit the level that you were at when you stepped away from it, without having to do months and months of work and preparation up to it. I think I could probably break a coconut right now.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to attempt to do it today. I'm going to spend about the next week or so, pummeling a sandbag and doing the stuff that I know works to get my hands conditioned, because I don't want to take the chance of having that little element of doubt that comes from not being fully prepared.
To take.
And then, of course, another good example of that is our boy Adam Glass, who was setting grip sport records for years.
Yep.
Doing things. And then he just sort of totally got away from that.
Yep.
And went into a lot of body weight stuff and his one arm chins and all of that stuff that he'd been working on. And I was talking to him, a few weeks ago, and he said that this year he's thinking he's going to go back into grip sport and compete some more. So I believe that he's the kind of guy, like what I'm talking about, that you know how you got there the first time.
Yeah.
You can get there the second time much quicker, and you can actually exceed where you were the first time much quicker. So I think it's part of that, the cyclical nature of things.
Yeah.
The other direction you can go with it if you're mentally stale is maybe you're like those folks who every year from January to middle of March decide that this is going to be the year that they get their health together, that they get in the gym, that they get everything squared away. And then at mid-March, they fall off the wagon. And then by Thanksgiving, they're 8 pounds heavier and more out of shape than they were last year.
Yep.
I think that in a case like that where you haven't actually gotten there, that maybe you tried to come out of the gate too fast and tried to get it, you know, try to do week 10 stuff during week one. It's funny. There was a, when I was at the Wim Hof instructor training, somebody up there pulled a photo of, there's a Wim Hof user group on Facebook.
Right.
And there's this constant barrage of questions from it's the same question over and over again from people who won't go find the instructor, or they won't sign up for the online course for 10 weeks. They just get the $5 app.
Yeah.
And think that they know everything they need to know.
Yep.
And so they'll post questions like, I was in the cold for 15 minutes yesterday, and today I decided I needed to do it for 20 minutes, and my toenails are black, and am I doing something wrong? And I'm like, you're going to lose a toe. How long have you been doing this? 3 weeks.
Oh, you know, God.
Like, you know, which is, of course, the equivalent of okay, Eric, you've never lifted before. I'm going to teach you how to squat with this empty bar. Your mechanics look good. Let's put 405 on there and see how it goes.
You just killed me. That's the end.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the end of it, right?
Yeah, I'm walking on stilts at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so one of my buddies found a picture of Leonardo DiCaprio from The Revenant where he's crawling and his beard's all frozen and stuff.
Yep.
And it says, the look you get when you try to do week 10 during week 2.
Perfect. Perfect. But you know what, David? So, Go ahead.
The whole thing being, if you think I know everything to do, but I haven't actually done it, you can't get there without putting the time in. Even if you have all the knowledge, because knowing without doing is not knowing. You have to actually do it.
Yep.
So I think it's easy to become mentally stale for people who know a lot of stuff but haven't actually carried it through to its end. Like, oh, I know everything I need to know to lose 40 pounds, and come January I'm going to. And then they lose 15 or 20 pounds by the middle of February, end of March, something like that, you know, somewhere in there. And they're like, well, I know what to do for the rest of it. Oh, look, some cake. Let's do that. And the next thing you know, it's over with.
Yeah.
And they got mentally stale because it got tedious from familiarity, but they didn't have the desire and the drive to carry on, and they didn't make it habitual. That's the main thing. Habits are built by repetition.
Yep.
And if you haven't built the repetition and established it as it's supposed to be, then it's when you become mentally stale, you won't leave it and come back to it. You'll leave it and it's gone.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's a difference between using the habit to build discipline and remove excuses, and not using the habit to get there. You know, it's a form of arrogance, really, if you get right down to it. Well, I know it, so I don't really need to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what it is? And I'll revert back to today's world. It's an instantaneous society with most people. It's great coming out of the gate. I've seen it here. We're going to do this, this, and this. We get so far, and then suddenly we get an injury. Or you got multiple things happening, workout to workout to workout. They come back, you know, we don't really have our head correctly screwed to our shoulders, and then we start the excuse counter. And now at that point, now you are becoming mentally stale, because I am convinced with dealing with people, I don't care what they do here, there's a certain level you've got to have people at mentally. And when they're not like that, they start falling, like you said, they fall off the wagon. But it's even more than that, because confidence to me with everything is the most important valued thing you can build out of exercise, because there's no way you're going to be able to keep going at any type of pitch if you don't have the confidence to keep doing this. And this is where a lot of people go awry. And, you know, unlike us, I mean, granted, we might leave something off for a while, but lifters, and I'm going to just leave everything to lifting. I don't care what you do. It's all iron or stone or steel or whatever you're doing, all right? The thing is we're talking about here is this. The mentality of the majority of us that are on this show or even doing other things, we have a I'm going to speak for myself, and I'm going to go right back to you, because I know I can't wait to hear what you say, but I'm just going to talk about me here a second. The stuff with the tire, the stuff with Iceland, the stuff with the stone, the stuff with the power rack, all that. I might leave it, or I might maybe change it up a little bit because I am feeling a little mentally and bodily stale. But the thing is with me, unless it's something that I feel is not pertinent to what I feel is going to really have a dividend, I always go back to it because a lot of times, and this is one thing we haven't mentioned yet, is this. Sometimes my body's crying out for it. I could be doing stuff for a while, and then something's going to pop in my head and say, you know what I feel like doing tonight? And I'll be like saying to myself, what? We're going to go do some big-ass buffalo dead-stop squats tonight. Well, you haven't done them in 3 months. Yeah? So? Okay. So let's get in there and see what we got. Obviously, as I talked before, I definitely will not have a good groove because the pathways are not there right now. They are to a point, but they're not probably going to be smooth, and you might be coming up a little harsher on one side, et cetera, et cetera. Then again, you might not use a lot of weight, which would be smart, and you start it out, and you get out of there in really good fashion. Now, that's the other flip side of being mentally stale and coming back. But I'll tell you this. I love the idea of either coming back to a movement or building a brand new movement, because this is what we haven't said here. Think about whether it's going back to the coconut breaking, whether for me it's going back to putting a big object overhead that shouldn't be lifted, as in sand, whether it's taking starting to shoulder Atlas stones again, which I, like I said, I hadn't done in 2 years, because all my stone lifting now is sandbags or the big Hoosa steels to go away. The point of the matter is, on the real positive side of mentally stale, there's mental vigor again. And mental vigor, think about this, everybody. That feeling that everybody's had it that really understands physical culture. You get like this buzz in your head, man. Your head, it's like you got this thing. It feels like wheels are churning in your head, and it's like, we got to get to it right now. The sandbags are waiting, and it's like you can't wait to get out there, and bam, it's like you just run right into it, and you keep applying your will to it. That's the other side of mentally stale. It's mentally vigorous. Vigor.
Absolutely.
Vigor.
But, absolutely, that enthusiasm.
Oh, man, and you know what the biggest thing, David, is? I'll tell you what. There's two things that I have really been promoting in my head. Very, very much so because of everything. And I'm going to tell everybody two things that you should really practice. And when you hear this show, don't laugh because I'm telling you it works. Number one, optimism. Number two,
absolutely.
Momentum. Listen to what I
absolutely.
Said. Momentum, folks. I'm telling you, and I'll give it right to you, my friend. I can't tell you how important it is to be an optimist. And I know people say, it's all that mumbo jumbo. All right, well, let me tell you, when problems are presented to you, when you are having to survive certain things, being an optimist is better than being a pessimist. I got news for you. Try the two out and then tell me. And then I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you, momentum will take you more places than anything you can ever imagine. Because you keep thinking about momentum. You know, you keep thinking about the important, like we, for the business. I just keep thinking about momentum. The podcast show last month was the biggest ever in the history of the little over 2 years. The momentum, I'm talking. I love the momentum of the show. Where are we going next with the show? Who is going to be coming into my life with the show? How many new products are we going to build? How financially solvent are we going? How much are we going to keep pushing? How many more holes do I got to put in that 100-foot cement wall that's leaking water all over till that thing breaks? And suddenly FBC and M&M are on their way to the biggest shit you've ever seen in the world. That's what momentum brings, folks. Stop thinking about all the other. And even if stuff's happening, I do this to myself. Two things. If I know something is really going awry like it did yesterday and this morning, I count from 18 down to zero. If that doesn't dissipate it, and that usually does, you say to yourself, and it's nothing that's going to hurt you in any way, I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to change the course of everything. Take it away, my friend, because this is where you're an expert. So hit it.
Optimism and momentum work synergistically.
Yep.
They work together.
Yep.
And the more optimistic you are, the more grateful you are, the more you can look at any given situation and find the good in it.
Yep.
And cultivate that good, because no situation is purely good or purely bad.
Right.
It's all, you know, there's some good or there's some bad in there. And so the more optimistic you can remain, the more optimistic momentum you will gather, and the more you will continue to move in the direction of things that make you feel more optimistic.
Yep.
Momentum is inert, actually. Momentum is just a force. It's like electricity, right?
Yeah.
Electricity, I can use it to cook my food, or I can jam a fork into the light socket and use it to cook myself. The electricity doesn't care.
Yep.
The momentum that you speak of doesn't care if you're being optimistic and grateful or if you're being negative and pessimistic.
Yep.
Because if you find that find yourself latching on to pessimistic thoughts, you will continue to build momentum in the direction you don't want to go. Suddenly everything will suck and the world's down on you and you can't get a break and all that sort of stuff. And really, it's all just in how you're looking at it.
Yep. Yep. And we've all been there too, myself included.
Sure.
I mean, we all have, you know, I'm not going to say to you I have perfect days where I'm like, I've said stuff to myself before I wouldn't say to anybody else. I mean, but you know what? I'm also a believer too, more so than ever, is I've never been a guy that held things in. And I think, I've lost a lot of friends like that because I want to tell you the truth. I don't go out of my way to hurt you or anything like that, but I have a real hard time with a lot of that, and it's probably the Italian, man. I don't know, but it's not anything that's intentional. But I will tell you this. I feel much better, even if it's about me, where I let it out, whether it's good, bad, or in between. I don't know if there's a good or bad with it. Because I'll tell you this, David, and I got to ask you this, man, because I've never said this. A lot of times when I'll listen to positive speakers for day in and day out, now, I'll tell everybody, I listen to them 15 minutes before I go to bed. I'm laying in bed doing it, and a lot of times I'll fall asleep. I won't even hear the 15, but it will still be subconsciously in my head, mm-hmm. regardless. And then before I get out of bed in the morning, I mean to go downstairs, shave, make coffee, whatever, I listen to it for approximately 15 to 20 minutes. I'm half awake, half asleep usually, and then I get up and start my day. And that's usually approximately anywhere from 4:45 to 5:10 in the morning. But I will tell you this, and I want to ask you this because I've never asked anybody this. If I'm going on a crazy, crazy cycle of this stuff, and I mean even more so, like say 3:30 this afternoon, I turn on Les Brown, say for 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and I do this stuff consecutively and over, and this goes on for weeks, and you know what happens to me once in a while? And I know what's happening. Suddenly, a lot of the thoughts that I've had, they could be very negative, they start coming out on me. Where I will literally start saying things that I know that I've said to myself in a bad light, and I know what's happening is everybody says it takes so many repetitions to release negative things you've said to yourself, and I gotta believe that's happening. And what I want to ask you, have you encountered that when you do this stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, then I'm not nuts. Okay.
And I think it works like this. I think that if you're just oblivious and you're just sitting around watching Netflix and listening to stupid morning radio shows and just kind of, going through the motions of your day, then there's no need for that stuff to well up. And then if something bad happens, you'll have a negative thought well up or whatever like that, or something nice happens. Oh, that's nice, whatever.
Yep. Yep.
But I think that when you deliberately go in and start working to inject more good into your subconscious and reprogram things that even if things are going well, they can go better.
Yeah.
With self-talk and self-image and all that kind of stuff. I think that very thing can provoke deeper levels of subconscious negativity that we may not have even been aware of.
Yep. Yep. I totally agree.
And I think that it's like if you're really, really out of shape and you haven't done anything and you just sit on the couch all the time, you don't really, you feel kind of sluggish or whatever, you're on the couch, but you can get up and walk to the kitchen to get another Pop-Tart and sit back. That wasn't that hard, so I'm doing okay, right?
Yeah.
But if I take you out and I, have you walk uphill dragging chains or with a weight vest on or something like that, suddenly walking becomes very, very detrimental to my mental state.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is so hard. Why is all this coming up? Well, it's because, you know, you provoked it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You took a step in the direction you want to go, and that provokes things.
Yep.
In the direction that you're leaving.
Yep.
Because the direction that you're leaving behind doesn't want you to go. Something in our mind wants us to stay like,
yeah,
just stay calm.
Status
stay
quo.
In the center,
yep.
Status quo.
Yep. Yep.
You know, things aren't that bad right now, and if you take a chance, then things might get bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think there's an aspect of that applies to staleness too. You know,
familiarity
breeds contempt.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think you hit it on the nail, and I'm even going to go deeper. Include myself, I'm going to use. I have built layers of who knows what in my brain, good or bad.
Oh, we've all got them.
Right.
We've all got them.
And you know what happens? As soon as we start drilling down, this is when things start exploding in us, and I can become very nasty towards myself, very harsh in what I've said. I've said it when I've lifted before, too. Where I'd be bombing out all over the place. And if you heard what I said walking up the driveway, you'd be like, who is he talking to? I'm screaming at myself, literally. And they'll be like, you shouldn't do that. I said, yeah, I should. Because I've got to get that out of me. And I've got to build a new layer of strength. Not weakness, strength. And you know what? I couldn't be happier with it. And I know down deep that what I'm doing is the correct way to do things. And like we said, we're talking about being mentally stale. Well, that is all part of mentally stale, like David said. On the couch, eating some peanuts, eating some popcorn, eating some potato chips. You know, I walk to the kitchen, grab me another corn syrupy soda, but I'm happy as hell, man. Then I'm outside, and say I went to a family function or I went with a bunch of people from work. And they had some outdoor grilling, and we're throwing a frisbee around or playing wiffle ball. And I go to do these things, and man, after 10 seconds, I got to bend over because I can't even breathe, all right? That is like contempt at that point for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that's like a can opener. Little by little, gradually you start going and turning until the top comes off, and you're like, uh-oh, you know, what do I do? You're in a panic. Your heart's racing. I've never felt this way before. Well, here's what you got to do, folks. First of all, get nice and quiet and start taking some deep breaths. That's going to calm you down initially. But what you got to need to do at that point is you got to change your life. Because life now is engaging you. It's not engaging you on the couch with a bag of chips, folks. It's not engaging you. It's a status quo, like you said. And if you want to live status quo, fine. But I think life is asking you to participate whether you want to or not. Getting up every morning, breathing, brushing your teeth, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a participation. But when I say participation, I'm saying go break a coconut. Go stand out in the cold till your friggin' eyeballs want to pop. Go lift stones, man, until, like myself, Roger Davis, all those guys, your skin's peeling off your hands. I'm not telling you to do this either because I don't want to see people get hurt. I'm talking about things I've done. You know, you've heard David talk about what he does. You've seen him out on Facebook with all the new stuff he's partaking in. Same thing with me, you know. Go lift a 200-pound sandbag over your head. You'll be able to lift any stone. Now, most people would say, "Are you out of your friggin' mind, stupid?" You know what? To me, that's like saying, "Hey, you want to come over and have a beer with me tonight?" I'd be like, "Sure, if I like you and I like your beer, all right." But people can't equate that, man, and I can. See, that's why I say all these things we do, yeah, all right, so I haven't done a coconut in a few weeks. Oh, so I haven't lifted a 180-pound sphere to my shoulder in 2 years. Do you realize, though, whatever it was Saturday, I'm done with everything. I didn't need to do any more. All I was doing was putting the stone back next to the Nautilus four-way neck machine. And I looked at that thing. I said, I got to see if I can lift that, man. I got under that thing. I didn't put anything under the stone like most people do, like a 5-pound plate, so your fingers don't get crushed. I just grabbed those big mitts under it, had my arms extended because we don't want any bicep tears or bullshit. Next thing I know, it was almost like a full swoop. I got down a little bit, almost like I was going to lap it, and up it went the front of my friggin' chest onto my right shoulder. Let it come down a little bit, put it back on the ground gingerly, and I stood there. I was like, son of a bitch, man, that was easy. Well, yeah. I know people are going to say, well, you're a 300-pound guy, 184-pound stone should be nothing. I got news for you, folks. 184 pounds isn't, it's not 10 pounds, all right? It's a big sphere that basically whacks me in the head. I got either a big cut, a gash, a welt, or I fall down on my butt and hit my head probably on the power rack, all right? It was just the idea to see that, okay, I've had all this in me, and see, this is what we're talking about with the mental thing, with all the crap coming out of you. I said, you know, this used to be nothing to pick up. And I said, it's been a couple years. Let's see. Well, yeah, let's see turned into, hey, I put it on my shoulder. I'm pretty happy. Now I walk out of the gym garage, and I shut the door, and we'll be ready tomorrow night to go again. So now, what am I doing today before I came on? There I am out weighing this big bar that you can load up. You can use it as a stone loader. They make it. It's out of Elite. And then there I am putting some more shot, weighing it in Domination, Who's a Steel Stone, because now I am so friggin' fired up. Only over 180-pound sphere, folks, and sandbags, that now I've got some more stuff I'm lining up to play with. This is the fun of the vigor, the mentally vigorous, folks. That's a word I've never even heard said together. So we just invented a new word, two words here, man. Mentally vigorous, folks. David, take it away, brother.
I think the thing that, well, first of all, putting a smooth 184-pound stone on your shoulder.
Yep.
At whatever body weight you are, I've never done that. I've never attempted that.
Yep.
But I recently picked up a keg.
Yep.
That a buddy of mine was selling, and it's loaded with sand, and it's about 235-240 pounds.
Oh yeah.
And all I've attempted to do with it is just tilt it over on its side and deadlift it. So
yeah.
I'm thinking, eventually, you know, I'll bear hug that, then
yeah.
I'll put it on my shoulder, and then I might squat with it or
yep.
whatever, and,
yep.
and maybe eventually it'll go over the head if I care enough about pursuing that particular goal. But you're talking about you just walked over to the stone and picked it up and set it on your shoulder because you haven't done it for a while, and it was ridiculously easy
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
I don't think I could do that particular feat right now. I think it would take me, like, some technical instruction,
yeah.
some lighter weight.
Yep.
And a few months ramping up to that. So the other thing to keep in mind along with your size and strength with that is that's familiar territory for you.
There
you
go.
You kind of went in and dusted the rust off of it and
yep.
and picked it up, and you're like, man, I don't know why I got stale on this in the first place. you got stale on it because it got familiar to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And so you let it go away for a while. And, you know, it's like, as much as I love listening to Pantera, sometimes I want to listen to something else for a while.
I'm with you.
And when you
yeah.
come back, Pantera's that much better.
Yep. I've been, speaking of that, there's only two bands I've been really listening to is, one band in specific is, Creator. Their latest disc is insane. Insanely heavy, too. But mm-hmm. I will tell you this, I had them on today when I went out, but for the last 3 days, I've been playing Far Beyond Driven like a madman. So Pantera is back definitely striking with me because I've got their full catalog all reissued. I got it last Christmas as a gift, and it's called, because it's right in front of me, Pantera, 1990 to 2000, the complete studio albums. They're like in a packet, all of them, and they're in, each disc is in, it looks like an album. It's just a small version, you know, no plastic or anything, and they just sound phenomenal. And then I was doing two things. On the rock genre side, spring always brings me back to Van Halen, David Lee style. You know,
Beautiful Girls.
Yeah, that the second album's great, but you know what? And this is an album I never liked, and I don't know why it's grown on me so, is Diver Down.
I love Diver Down.
Now, a lot of people hate that album because, you know, there's a lot of remakes, but I'll tell you, when you hear, I love Big Bad Bill, Sweet William
yeah.
Now, you know, you listen to, you know, I'm trying to think.
Full bug.
I was going to say, you come around my door, don't go let you pass. You know, got a brand new woman going to bite your ass for sure. You know that? I love that. And you know what else? You know, like little guitars. All, you know, all the stuff. You know, hey, they did a great job on Pretty Woman. There's no doubt about that with Intruder before, where, you know, anybody that doesn't know this, read any old articles, that sound he got off Intruder, all that scraping noise was a bud can against his strings, man. I mean, just incredible stuff. So Van Halen is springtime to me. I listen to them all year round, but boy, now the weather's hitting here, and they're talking very humid the end of the week, which is very strange for this time of year, but that's Van Halen, and the only time I drink Budweiser, ladies and gentlemen, is when it's 100 degrees and humid, because when you stick those in an icy chest, I don't care what it is, Budweiser stinging throat cold with Van Halen on is all I need, man, out on that deck, baby. That's where it's at, man, I'm telling you right now. And you want to loosen up that that mentally stale crap, man? Go back in time a little bit. Go listen to some stuff like that. Throw some Pantera on. So, throw some Creator, some Testament, anything. Anything that's going to jar the rust off between your ears, and that means your brain. That's what I love to do. Everybody has their days. I have them. I'm sure David has them. There's days, man, I've had where it's like, why even bother anymore? You know what? Go out and be that regular Joe or Joanne. But you know what? It's gone too far with me now. I can never, ever go back. Never. I would much rather fall off a cliff than go back to mediocrity. That's just me talking about me, and I don't ever think I was mediocre. But I guess I just don't blend well with the animals anymore. That's all. There's people I like, I mean, really like through the show. I have some good friends still. But you know something? I am not adverse to being a lone wolf either. And I know a lot of, you know, and I know a lot of people say, well, I need to be with people. I need to go out with people. I need that. Well, I can do either or, but I can tell you right now in my life, being alone at times keeps me, I'm going to say very sane, in a lot of ways, because, I like to be able to think. I like to keep myself quiet unless I have to erupt, like with training or whatever. Because, see, when I go outside and do that, that's the one thing I think that's left that we as men especially can do, where not unless you get in a fight with a neighbor, you can pretty much almost kill things and not go to prison for it. And that's what I look at it now. I mean, and I don't really need to be out in the public unless it's something we want to do with speaking to people or offering solutions or training people, because I hate to say it, folks, there's just too much stuff going on out there for my taste. And as I said, we had Chris Vaccio on this morning, David, and I said, you know how bad things have gotten, especially politically, because it's insane how the world is right now. We have a lot of local YMCAs, all right, and most of the people there are older, okay, I think. You know, you have some younger and kids, but I think the age group would probably be 30s to 70s to 80s. It got so bad there where, of course, which I don't believe in any TV, especially when you're on a treadmill. It got into some political stuff, and two people got off the treadmill and beat the shit out of each other. Now, at that point, you know, that's not where I want to be. Not that I would be in a place like that, but I don't mind mixing it up, but I'm not going to mix it up with people over stuff like that.
Be as aggressive and assertive as you need to be.
Yeah.
But it has to have a purpose behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because here's the thing, like if I'm going to get aggressive and go out and lift something or you know, bend steel, you're going to lift a stone or whatever, then it serves a purpose. It's guided in a particular direction.
Yep.
If two people get in a physical fist fight over differing political views, let me ask you this. Ask you this, Eric. Do you think that let's just assume you had one really, really far right Trump supporter.
Yep.
And then you had one really, really far left liberal Democrat.
Yep.
And they come to blows.
Yep.
Do you think that whoever got their ass kicked changed their political affiliation as a result of that?
Not one bit.
Not one bit. Nope. That's the reason why, like, if someone posts something on Facebook that's related to something, or on any social media that's related to stuff like that, I don't even read it, because I know what my opinions are.
Yep.
And you posting some link to some story that may not even be true about whatever political person.
Yep.
I'm not going to click on it and read it because I don't care.
Yep.
And if I do read it, then if I'm on the same side as you, then I'm going to be like, yeah, hell yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Or if I'm on the opposite side, I'm going to be like, this is all horseshit. I'm not going to listen to this.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter ultimately. And so if you can take all of those things, which are just willful distractions, and move them out of the way, what are you left with? It's whatever goals you set for yourself and whatever step you need to take right now to get towards it.
Yes.
And anything that's not contributing to that is a deliberate decision to move in an opposite direction. That's how I define distraction.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's not going to serve you a thing. And you know, in today's world, you throw fists with somebody, there's a very good chance you could do some prison time. It's not worth it, man. The only way that I can see that it could get into something like that is if someone threatens you or puts their hands on you physically. You have a right to defend yourself. But you know what,
Absolutely.
Folks? This is what I say. This is why I love the weights and the stones so much for me, because I'll tell you what, on the worst of worst days or whatever's happened, I can go out there and I can defuse myself. It's very important, because David, I'm sure, can attest to it like anybody here. I think most of the guys here are probably a big fireball of testosterone all the time. But what we do is, as I say, just because we leave the gym or our cellar or our backyards or whatever, and we don't have a stone attached to us or a barbell or a coconut or whatever, does not mean we are not part of that all the time. And that's where I think people have lost the whole idea of physical culture, of becoming stale. And the thing is, what I always do is just try to be as kind with people and as friendly as I can, say hello to them, acknowledge them, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's the last point of it is this. I won't go out in public and take any baloney from anybody, especially rude people, because we see more and more, we've talked about this on the shows, and I've talked with neighbors and stuff, can't even say hello to you, you know, you can't even hold the door for somebody, just basic manners, or being able to look somebody in the eye and saying hello. There's this faction of the world now where they don't feel they need to communicate, I'll say this, and I'll send it right over to you, David. I was in a Whole Foods the other day because there's a certain product that they sell, which I don't even like giving them press, that I can only get there. And I'm not kidding you when I say this. I can't say everybody, but where I was standing to get this product, I'm not positive 100%, but I don't think there was anybody without either a phone in their hand, they weren't texting, or they were on the phone. And I was like, I'm an alien. I am a friggin' alien here. And did I have my phone on me? Yeah, it was in my car, shut off, out of the way, so no one would see it and break the window to steal it. Because that happens here a ton. So what I'm saying is the physical culture, the mental ability to get rid of that staleness, to build that vigorous, become mentally vigorous, it's all there for you. And without the weights and stones, I'll tell you right now, I don't know how I would diffuse. I probably would have gotten in trouble a lot of times here. And because of being fortunate to discover physical culture through my brother Jimmy, of seeing a brother suffer with muscular dystrophy and discovering that comic book of the Hulk, changed my life forever. It's where I am today because of those two people. Never dispute or go away from something you believe in, whether you're stale or not, because eventually, unless it's something that's hurt you or you don't want to do it, you're going to come back to it. Just like the next time David's on here, or I'm sure we'll see it before them, we'll see him chopping coconuts in tens, all right? That's what I'm saying here, man. So never, you know, the whole thing comes down. Never discount who you are. Don't listen to what others say. And if they do, get rid of it quickly, like we said. Do it some way. You know, build it mentally. Learn how to sit by yourself. Breathe. Think about good things. Listen to tapes. Get rid of those layers. Layers, layers, layers. Build new ones. Build new lives for yourself. Remember what I said, optimism? Optimism. momentum. Even just repeat those two words when you're walking around. I don't care if people look at you funny. I do it all the time. You know what I say all the time? Like Doc Ridge says when I say in the show. I was walking around today. I had to go out and run an errand before the show. Keep smiling. Keep smiling. I'm doing it right now, and I'm smiling, folks.
Yep.
Okay? Don't discount you, yourself, or anything you heard here, because David and I deliver you some fine, fine shows. And as he said, and I'll attest to it other than the subject, I don't send him 10 questions. I wouldn't do it if he asked me. All right? We don't do it. And he and I don't have to do it that way. Nobody on here has ever had anything sent to him. If you can't fly by the seat of your skirt or your pants, stay home and suck your thumb. That's the way it is. David, take your time. Finish up everything. Give out all your information. I got a couple things I got to read before we go, and then I'll give mine and hang on the line, brother.
All right. Just a quick little final thought on momentum and optimism as a counter to being mentally stale. If we look at the word optimism, it's closely related to the word optimal.
Yep.
And I had never thought about that until you were saying what you were saying a minute ago. So optimism leads to optimal, right?
Yep.
And I truly believe this, and I think you do too, that we are not meant to be weak. We are not meant to be sad. We're not meant to be beat down. Our natural state is wellness and health and strength and vigor and vibrancy and enjoying life. And so when mental staleness comes along, I think that that's a very important part of the process, much like when we're lifting and we start to get a little bit sweaty or we start to get a little bit tired. It lets us know that what we're doing is what we need to be doing. Without that staleness, we won't experience the vigor. So don't get beat up over it, like, well, I just kind of, you know, I'm burnt out or whatever like that. Okay, that's fine. Step away from it. Move it in a slightly different direction. All the stuff that we've been talking about for the past hour.
Yep.
Our natural state is to be healthy, happy, and strong.
Yes.
And if you get stale on something, just run it through that filter. If I do something that's going to make me healthy, happy, and strong, then it's going to be good for me.
Yep.
And it, you know, even if it feels like, oh damn, I got to go lift this stone again, or I got to go do this again, it's okay. Just do it anyway, because it's moving you toward fully expressing who you are.
Yep.
So information on me, irontamer.com is the website. Got a bunch of shows coming up in the next few months. And I'm available for other shows. If anybody's interested in that, contact information's on that site. Facebook, professional page, Iron Tamer Dave Whitley. And then YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter are Iron Tamer.
Awesome. 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 One other thing, too. Well, I want to read this because I don't want to forget this. This is from our good friend Chris Vaccio. As you know, he's very involved with America's Strongest Disabled Athletes. So they have a contest coming up, and I'm going to give you all the information for anybody that is interested. America's Strongest Disabled Athlete, the official USA qualifier for World's Strongest Disabled Man. It's May 13th, 2017. Starts at 10 a.m. It's in Columbus, Ohio, at the Ohio Expo Center in the Ohio building. This is a Strongman Corporation-sanctioned competition run alongside of it. Now, they are, like you said, the entries are accepted until May 5th, by the way. There is going to be an actual Strongman contest to go with the Strongman Disabled contest. Okay, so you're going to have two different things going on there. But Chris is, you know, he's done phenomenal things for these athletes. And he told me, I think a few years back when they started, they only had 6. I believe this year they have 22 or 23. So it was all started over, obviously, in Iceland by Magnus Vermagnuson. But Chris, my hat's off to you, brother. Like our good friend Ned Norton with the Warriors on Wheels here in Albany. We talked about these athletes and how special they are, because they understand there's limited time, where a lot of us never think of that. And boy, they get right to it. And you hear some of the stories and you see some of the things that have happened to these gentlemen and women. And man, oh man, I'll tell you, people would kill to be able to bottle what they've got in their heads and hearts. So thanks, Chris, and we will announce this for the next couple weeks right up to the 5th, the 4th, and thanks for being on today and all you do. Also, too, you know, it's a big thing. It's very close to my heart, even though Jimmy had muscular dystrophy, but he was wheelchair-bound to the very end. So anybody that I can help with things like that, you can contact me through Facebook, and I'm sure I would be more than happy to help you out. Also, too, this is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Also, go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Go out and seriously look at the Winner's Circle and Etched in Stone. I guarantee you, these two programs are like nothing you've seen out there. I mean, this is all stuff that I have done for a minimum of 15 years here at FBC. I would never turn out anything that wasn't sterling and wasn't complete. And each piece can be grown because after the men's etched, we are going to do a woman's etched in stone. And I have a whole thing written for kids that when you see what we're going to do by summer's end, I've never seen anything out there on the planet. And obviously the biggest thing here is if we don't get in with a national radio show, and we've already been approached, but they just didn't seem to fit what I needed right now. We will be our own national radio show with the idea I would like to have it done within 2 to 3 years. It's an awful lot of money and work, but that's where we're heading. Like I said, we had our biggest month in March to date, and we'll be up 3 years in September. Most podcasting doesn't last 30 days. So I'm very proud of that and everything that we've achieved here. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten. We thank everybody for that. Also, go out to, let's see, AHA. They pronounce it AHA. That's a directory where you can go out and get Motivation Muscle into your car. Most of the new cars all have the capabilities in their radios to get podcasting. As you're going to see, podcasting is going to just grow bigger and bigger like it is. It's huge, and it's getting bigger. And I think eventually radio won't go fully away, but you're going to see this as the medium for sure. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like David and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words of inspiring thought and verbiage will go a lot more towards people than anything you would believe, because 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, press it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosier Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning and who's been on the show, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that, my brother, till the very end of our existence, which is going to be at least 30 years, no matter what. Also, too, as Frank Klein said, my greatest marketing business professor in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. I spoke at John Ridge, my chiropractor, and he was like a father figure to me because my dad had passed away long before I went in and, you know, learned of John, and we are going on 3 years of losing one of the most quality people I have ever met. I don't know if I could be there every Friday now to get adjusted, but let me tell you something. I miss John like you wouldn't believe, and he would walk everyone to the door and say, keep smiling. We talk about being a man's man. John was a man's man and one of the most gentle, nice people I've ever met, but I know one thing about John because I've seen him. That is a guy, you don't twist his tail because he could turn on you. He was a guy, David, that sent me a postcard. He and his wife had never traveled much because of his job. And there in Alaska, and I get this postcard, and it says a huge tiger on the front. And he sent me a nice note, and he said, when I saw this, I thought of you. And I was like, okay, what's he gonna got me on now? He says, when I see you, he goes, I thought of you as in silent strength. And he said, that's what I'm going to call you all the time now. And that big tiger is what reminded me of you. John, I tell you, David, I wish you could have met John. I don't know if I got words for him. Like my dad, like Frank Klein, just salt of the earth, man. Just they don't make them like that anymore. And they probably do, but, boy, you got to search hard for them now. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends because we're coming for you. We are not going to knock on your door. We will kick the thing in. Join the revolution. Join the family. As the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you, but we'll take it two steps further. We believe in you and we got your back. And I don't know many people that say that because you know what? We're not like anybody else. We are extraordinary. We are not ordinary. And before David and I sign off, I'm going to read this little short excerpt. And my mom found this book. It was my dad's. And my dad obviously was from Boston. Big New Englander, big Patriots, Red Sox fan. That's the big divide in my family, Yankees, Red Sox, all that. But my dad loved Vince Lombardi. And I wish I was around in that era because I think I would have too. And my mom found this book, and it's called Lombardi. Winning is the Only Thing, and it's edited by Jerry Kramer, who was one of his players. And I'm going to read this excerpt from Frank Gifford. I saw the movie Patton, and it was Vince Lombardi. The situation was different, but the thought was the same. We're here to do a job, and each and every day, one of us will put everything in, everything we've got into getting the job done. I'll read that again because I messed the word up. We're here to do a job, and each and every one of us will put everything we've got into getting the job done. That was Vince. Patton believed in reincarnation. Who knows? Maybe it was Patton who coached the Packers, Frank Gifford. With that in mind, David, you know, it's been a long time, but I got to tell you, man, I enjoy our shows. It is, I'm never going to say we're the best together, but there's just certain things, certain people that, well, I'll leave it there. But welcome back. Welcome back. And it's always a pleasure and honor to have you on. And I look forward to a long, long life with you and everybody else here. So thanks for coming on, my friend.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks for having me back on.
Anytime. You're always welcome here. And I apologize for the wait, but you know a lot what's going on here. So, yep. You know, this is how things work, and we want to be around for a long time. So we'll have David on. I hope to get him on in May. We'll talk about that. But in the meantime, today's only Monday. You got 6 more days to do some amazing things, and you got the rest of your life. Go out there, ladies and gentlemen, and just go do something. Help somebody out. Make yourself better. We talked about mentally stale. How about we're mentally vigorous, ladies and gents? Think about that. Mentally vigorous. So for David Whitley, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Go out and do something magnificent. The world is not saying it. The world is asking you to do it. So fulfill it. Have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.